we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And that we will live by the word of God regardless of what we are confronted by. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit that entered us the moment we received Christ as Savior. We are thankful that He is our influence, our motivator. He is our divine enabler. I am also thankful for the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. It is tough. It is hard. Exciting. It is full of praise and worship to the living God. Like the rest of the Bible, it is a book of absolute truth and absolute reality. And we are thankful for the absolutes that come from the Word of God. Open our hearts. Give us ears to hear what Jesus has to say in Revelation chapter 1. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your printouts, you'll notice Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Let's begin with the introduction. Each of these seven churches had their own identity. Underline the word identity, please. And it leads to the question that needs to be asked, what is it that characterized each of the seven churches? What is it that characterizes Hainesville Baptist Church? When someone asks you, what is it like to walk in the Baptist Church? Do they have Bibles? Yes, we do. Do we believe in the Word of God? Yes, we do. Do we practice what we believe? We are not perfect, but by the divine power of the Holy Spirit within us, we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to lead and guide us in every thought and everything. Each of these seven churches had their own identity and purpose. Underline the word purpose, please. It leads to this question. Why are we here in this particular geographical location? I'll repeat it. Why are we here in this particular geographical location? Question number two, what is our biblical purpose is to lift up Jesus Christ as high as He can be lifted. We are to take the Word of God, learn it, make application of it to our daily lives, that we may live by faith and live lives pleasing unto the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. A statement. Our purpose is not to please the masses, but to convict. Just listen for a moment. As a church, are we seeking to please the masses rather than convict? How often is judgment mentioned? How often is repentance sought and sin? We want to build a church rather than break a heart. Be politically correct rather than biblically correct. Coddle and comfort rather than stir and convict. These leave people confused and deceived because we teach and live a form of Christianity void of repentance and also go back to the very front page. Notice the second sentence, and I want you to listen very closely. Each was facing unique and serious problems. I've got some notes you don't have. Please listen. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. We're going to look at the churches. It's not going to take a long time, about 5 minutes. Here we go. The church in Ephesus had the best programs and the best activities, but they had left their first and most important love in their life, and that is Jesus Christ. There was no more passion. There was no fervency. And if they did not repent, Jesus would raise up another church to take its place. Then there was the church in Smyrna. a church that was struggling in tribulation and poverty. Also, they were struggling with a fear of future calamity. That is, a future fear of terrible loss and misfortune. Many are going through that in the church today. The church in Pergamum, temptation of paganism and demonic activity on a daily basis. I want you to listen what God was allowing Christian people to go through and to confront. The confrontation of paganism and demonic activity on a daily basis. Also, the damnable doctrine of the Nicolaitans was trying to influence the church people astray. The church in Thyatira, a dedicated, hard-working church. They demonstrated patience and excellence in whatever they did for Jesus Christ. But many were being seduced by Jezebel, seducing God's people with damnable doctrines that endorsed loose living and ungodly morals. The church began strong in the faith, but Jesus could see their steadfastness was slipping and they were in danger of dying spiritually. The church in Philadelphia, they had rare opportunities and open doors to declare the gospel, but Jesus could see that they needed to hold fast during challenging times. Then the church at Jesus saw nothing positive. They were neither hot nor cold. They were rebuked for self-sufficiency. But Jesus pleaded with them to open the door and allow him back inside their church once more. Back to the printout. Each was facing unique and serious problems. Each was situated them in particular geographical locations for a purpose. Each was situated by the hand of the living God in the midst of paganism. Are you telling me God will set His people in places that are very difficult, that are very hard? His enemies from hell is yes. We all pray in America because we're a little bit spoiled. God, deliver me from my enemies. God, deliver me from this tribulation. God, please deliver me from poverty. Deliver me, I pray, from confrontation with paganism. Pray, Almighty God, and set me on a path that will be easy to walk without any resistance. God is not going to do that. Whatever He allows to come into your life as a child of God, He allows to come in to have purpose. It is to strengthen you. It is to let you know He loves you. It is to let you know that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. It lets you know that God is always going to be with you. He's always going to be in your midst. He is never going to let go of you. He loves you more than you know. And when Jesus Christ died for you, He paid your debt in full. So therefore, when you come to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are saved at that moment. You will be saved in the future that is to come, and you will be saved throughout all eternity. Because Jesus Christ is the one who guarantees the terms of the new covenant. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the United States of America should never fear any conflict, any war that America is led into. Because Jesus Christ is always the captain of the army. And our enemies cannot overcome Jesus Christ, nor God the Father or the Holy Spirit. Again, they are sovereign. They are king. They are all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. That is your leader in the spiritual world. It is your leader in the physical world, and it is never, ever going to change. God bless America, and thank you, God, for Jesus Christ that is our Lord and Savior, and it will never be, period. Period, period. Amen. Back to the printout. Each was situated in the midst of paganism. In other words, God expects His people, His Christian people, to face paganism and be victorious as they face it. Also, a gross spiritual darkness. My friends, if you watch TV, there were two nights where the Democrats, the candidates running for president, got up. And they began to let you know their thoughts and ideals about America. Socialism, and bureaucrats. America must be placed in the hands of the sovereign Lord resurrected Jesus Christ and also God the Father. And the power we have today in America will never come from Washington. It is a power that will come from obedience unto the living God that loves America and has blessed America more than you will ever know. And each had endured horrible seasons of persecution at the hands of the Roman government. Yet rather than instruct his people to hide from the hostile world that surrounded them, Jesus did the opposite. By depicting them as seven golden candlesticks, he was calling his people to be repeatedly refilled with the oil of the Holy Spirit. There's Ephesians 5:18 once again. And to lift the light of the gospel higher and higher so more and more people could be given the eternal life he had died to purchase for them. Verses 12 and 13. Then I, John, turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, I saw someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching to his feet, and with a golden sash wrapped around his chest. Look at this first word, mist. The word mist in the Greek is mesos. It has two meanings that you don't have written down. I wrote those down after further study this morning. Mist, mesos. Number one, it refers to one who mediates. One who mediates. To mainly produce peace by understanding the claims and the needs of every Christian in the body of Christ. There's a second meaning here that you don't have. It is one who acts as a guarantor. I referred to that earlier. Guaranteeing the terms of the new covenant. People say, how do I know that I'm really saved? My answer, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you believe that Jesus Christ paid your sin debt in full? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God? Do you believe that Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God? Do you believe that Jesus is not only your Savior, but He's also the judge of every human being that's ever going to be born? He is the judge that is going to judge the Christians. He is the judge that is going to be at the great white throne. And He will judge every believer that has ever lived. Jesus Christ is God, and He is nothing less. He has no beginning. He has no end. He has no point of origin. He has always been there. He is there today for you, and He will be there in the future that has no end for you. All right, back to the printout. Number one, under midst. It means in the middle or in the center. So where is Jesus standing? Right in the very center of the seven gold candlesticks. These seven churches were the leading congregations of Asia. Yet despite their prominent status, these local bodies had problems of a various serious nature. Here's a question, number one. So what does Jesus do with himself in response to these churches? Underline the word church and write Christians. Because when you think of the church, you think of people. People saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. People that form the church of the living God. I'll reread it. So what does Jesus do with himself in response to these Christians having such serious problems? I want you to listen to what you just heard. Even though you're a Christian, can you still have serious problems in your life? Are you going to have some serious difficulty in your life? Are you going to have some serious adversity in your life? The answer is yes. And why does God allow all of this in the lives of His children? Listen to this. To grow you. To grow you into Christ's likeness. To mature you into being like the Lord Jesus Christ. To enable you to see when adversity comes again, when hardship comes again. You're not going to see the adversity. You're not going to see the hardship. But you're going to see Jesus Christ standing in the midst of it. No matter how serious your problems will ever be, I'm telling you, Jesus will be there. He'll be in the midst of all of it. Call upon Him. He's there. He's listening. He's yearning. He wants to help you. He is your loving Heavenly Father. So what does Jesus do with Himself in response to these Christians having such serious problems? Did Jesus distance Himself? No, He did not from those churches. The answer is a big no. Regardless of the imperfections, I've got news for you. A lot of people say, I'm not going to church. I'm not perfect yet. I got news for you. The church is for sick people and we're all sick. None of us are perfect. And we won't be perfect until after we die and go to be in the presence of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So when you're thinking about coming to church, some people say, again, I don't want to go to church. That's strange. Jesus does. Jesus wants to go to church. Jesus wants to be where His people are. He wants to be amongst them. He wants to be in the midst of them. For He's here to let you know that He has guaranteed your salvation. He has guaranteed everything in the new covenant, and He gave His blood for it. And it is sealed with the blood of Almighty God. And brother, when it is sealed with that, it is unsealable. Satan cannot touch it. Regardless of the imperfections and problems of the people, He stood where? Right in the midst of them. Mom and Dad, I want you to listen. When your children are having some serious problems and adversity and difficulty, I want you to be there, not to criticize, not to holler, not to yell, but I want you there in the midst of them, letting them know it's okay, I'm like you. I'm not perfect either. I have made my mistakes. I've had my missteps in my life. Mom and Dad, that is the time to lift up as high as you can Jesus Christ and the agape love that He is. That unconditional love of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And to let them know the way and as much as God loves me, I'm going to love you in this moment of imperfection that you find yourself in. Brother, kiss them on the cheek. Give them a good hug and say, I love you as the Father loves you. And as the Father has forgiven me, the Father will forgive you. It's a loving, wonderful thing. What does this tell us that we must understand? Jesus is not ashamed of His people. I don't care what you do. Sometimes a little lady will come in and the young man will walk in behind her. They'll sit down on the couch. And she'll say, I've got something to tell you. I'm pregnant. I have had a dad and I've had moms come to my office during that time throwing a fit of rage. My response, get over it. It's already done. Now figure out how you're going to be a mom and dad and a grandma and a grandpa to this child that is being formed by God in the womb of your daughter. And let them know, I still love you. And when that baby comes out, I laugh so hard, they love it to pieces. Wouldn't take a thing for it. I wonder how many children that these Democrats want to put away, even during labor, they say, we okay abortion. Why do you want to kill what God has formed and given life to?
Amen.
It is amazing how bold the adults speak. I want to say, aren't you glad Mom and Dad chose for you to live? But now that you're an adult, oh, how you speak so boldly. Now that you are alive and you are living, I don't understand it all, but I want to say this. If you haven't sinned, I'll bring you the first stone cast. The love of Jesus is about forgiveness and walking hand in hand with your brother and sister in Christ, with your husband and your wife. This church is full of love, and I thank you for it. Jesus is not ashamed of His people, even though it is comprised, would you please listen to this, of flawed human beings. There is no self-righteousness in this church. If it is, we will deal with it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You still like me? Page 2. Okay. Spiritual newsflash. Page 2. Top of page. Having purchased their redemption, are you telling me that Jesus died for me? Yes. Having purchased their redemption through His death and resurrection, Jesus is now delighted. Can you imagine how happy Jesus is to be among His people? He is now delighted to abide in the midst of His blood-bought people whom He values as pure gold. Jesus stands as the great overseer in the midst of the seven gold. Each one of us, He has intimate knowledge about each one of us. This is why later He would say to each of the seven churches, I know thou works. Look at that word know. It is oada. Oada. Now there's a word no, in the Greek also, gnosko. And they've all got different meanings, haven't they, Jim? All got different meanings. Oida, if you look it up, means fullness in knowledge. Let's look at it. The word no, oida, meaning fullness in knowledge, this word means to see. This word describes what Jesus, is Jesus all-knowing? So does Jesus see everything? Does He see beyond everything? Does He see behind everything? Does He see to the top and bottom and all around of everything? What does that mean? Jesus is all-knowing. Is that correct? Here we go. This word describes what Jesus personally sees, not something He has obtained from a personal outside source. It's hard for me to trust what somebody tells me. I like to check with the other person because everybody has their bias. Is that correct? Thank you. Jesus' position among the churches means He is in a position to see everything that happens in these churches, both good and bad. This is to be taken as encouragement and a warning to the church of every age. As head of the church, Jesus stands in the midst of His people. Is He here? So Sunday morning worship should be awesome. He's here. He's here. as head of the church. I'm glad he's head of the church and not me. Nor the deacons. Nor the women. Nor the men. Nor is the committee on committees. But if I read my Bible correctly, there's only one head of this church. That's Jesus. Why is Jesus the head of this church? Because he's God. Because he gave birth to the church. He gave his life for the church. And he was raised by the power of God for the church. As head of the church, Jesus stands in the midst of his people lovingly, overseeing everything that transpires, both positive and negative. He knows from personal observation every victory won, every misstep taken, every challenge faced, and every demonic attack withstood. In the church, Jesus sees our love, faith, patience, and commitment. He also sees our actions that are out of line with his character and his plan for the church. I'm going to stop there for just a moment. I want you to go back. He also sees our actions that are out of line with his character. Let me tell you something. God's not interested in your agenda. He's not interested in what you and I think that we need to do. Haynesville Baptist Church is here to carry out the purpose of Almighty God. When we are tempted to feel dismayed, that's the last paragraph, about the carnality and the powerlessness that sometimes seems so pervasive in the contemporary body of Christ, it is important for us to remember that Jesus paid the highest price of all for the church, that he loves his people, and that he still remains in the midst of them. Listen, you can still hear the voice of Jesus saying to his church, repent, whenever repentance is needed. Did you understand Ephesus? When I looked that up in the Greek language, they left. The word left in the Greek means they sent off Jesus Christ. They left their first and most important love. No more passion. Fervency was gone. But they made a volitional decision to say what? We send you out. We send you off by choice. The most important thing in the church is you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we don't have a loving, personal, devotional, living relationship with Christ, this church will be replaced. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus, our Savior, our King, our Warrior. Jesus is not backing up. He's going forward with his agenda. He is loving and he is forgiving. He is so full of mercy, it's unreal. But on the other side of that coin, he's judge. So if you think you can do it another way, and he's so loving, he'll turn his head and not watch. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as the Bible says, as your personal Lord and Savior. Believing that He is God, He has always existed, having no point of origin, saved by grace through faith in Jesus. My friends, there is no other way. No man cometh unto the Father but through the Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, drive it home. Make it real. Make it alive in the hearts of those that are ready to receive it. For this we ask and thank you. And thank you once again for the United States of America and for what it does mean to the world. Let this flag continue to stand. Bless and equip our military. Bless and equip our president and all that are Christians in Washington. And give us what is needed, the boldness and courage to stand, to face, and to speak in the right spirit, but yet forcibly when needed, for the cause of Jesus Christ. For we shall not be moved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.